Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine, manual as in hands. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle, hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural problems, as well as health issues like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussive syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many, many other problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me just remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, etc., by going to the Goldman Tripp website, www.goldmantripp.net. Click on the radio show icon, then scroll down and click on the individual show by topic. There are now more than 40 shows available. You can also get the most recent show podcasts right on the Robinhood Radio website itself in the on-demand section, all at your own convenience. Today, we're going to continue our series on the human endocrine system, that is, our system of glands that control so much of our physiology and function. To review a bit, the endocrine system glands produce and secrete hormones, that is, chemicals produced in the body that regulate the activity of cells or organs by acting as chemical messengers. These hormones are produced by the gland and then are circulated to the target tissues to regulate the body's growth, metabolism, and sexual development of function. The hormones are released into the bloodstream, and they may affect one or several sets of organs, tissues, and/or specific cells throughout the body. The components of the endocrine system are the hypothalamus, pituitary, thyroid, parathyroids, pineal, adrenals, pancreas, and the reproductive organs. The endocrine system is regulated by what we call a feedback mechanism, that is, in an analogous way that a thermostat regulates the temperature in a room. Most of the glands are regulated by the hypothalamus and pituitary in concert. The hypothalamus is a part of your brain. The pituitary gland is that small gland that sits suspended from the hypothalamus and resting in a bony saddle in the middle of your skull, just below your brain. The hypothalamus and pituitary sample levels of different active hormones in your blood and respond to those levels by secreting controlling hormones that tell the glands to make more of their hormones if the levels are low, or, in some cases, inhibit those glands from making more of their hormones if the levels are high. The hypothalamus and pituitary are the controlling entities for most of the endocrine system. In general, the hypothalamus acts by controlling the pituitary, which then sends out the specific stimulating hormone for a given gland. The hypothalamus influences the functions of temperature regulation, hunger and food intake, thirst and water intake, sleep and wake patterns, emotional behavior, and memory. We've already talked about the pituitary, thyroid, parathyroid, and pineal glands. Today, we're going to consider the adrenal glands. So then, let's start with the basics of adrenal anatomy and function. The adrenal glands, also known as suprarenal glands, are a pair of small, roughly pyramid-shaped glands that rest, one each, on top of both kidneys like little scout hats. These glands produce hormones that help regulate many key aspects of metabolism, including blood pressure, responses to stress, the immune system, and other essential functions. The adrenal glands each weigh about 3 to 5 grams and have one of the highest blood supplies per gram of any organ in the body. Up to 60 arterioles, those are very small arteries, may enter each gland, branching off of the three main arteries that generally supply each gland, an indication that these are small but very mighty glands. Adrenal glands are each composed of two different regions, the cortex and the medulla, which are each responsible for producing different hormones. The adrenal cortex is the outer region of each gland and also the largest part of an adrenal gland. It is itself divided into three separate zones, the zona glomerulosa, the zona fasciculata, and the zona reticularis. Each zone is responsible for producing their own specific hormones. The adrenal medulla is located within the adrenal cortex in the center of an adrenal gland. It produces the so-called stress hormones, that is, the well-known adrenaline, also known as epinephrine, and noradrenaline, also known as norepinephrine. The adrenal cortex and adrenal medulla together are covered in an adipose capsule that forms a protective fatty layer around the whole gland. Each zone of the adrenal cortex secretes a specific hormone. The key hormones produced by the adrenal cortex include cortisol, aldosterone, DHEA, and steroid hormones. Let's look a little more closely at each of these. We'll start with cortisol. Cortisol is made by the zona fasciculata and plays several important roles in the body. It helps control the body's use of fats, proteins, and carbohydrates, suppresses inflammation, regulates blood pressure, increases blood sugar, and can also decrease bone formation. So chronic use of cortisol, i.e. cortisone-based pharmaceuticals, can promote or exacerbate osteoporosis. Cortisol also influences the sleep-wake cycle and is released in the mornings prior to waking as part of the waking-up physiology. It is also released during times of stress to help you get a major energy boost and better handle any emergency. When we are chronically stressed, the constant presence of high cortisol can have negative effects on our physiology, including cardiac stress, GI dysfunction, sleep disturbance, and ultimately exhaustion of the adrenal glands. So ironically, we wind up with low cortisol, which can lead to fatigue and poor immune responses. Adrenal glands don't produce hormones in a vacuum, but do so in response to signals from the pituitary gland in the brain, which, as we have already learned, reacts to signaling from the hypothalamus, also located in the brain. This is referred to as the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, or HPAA for short, As an example, for the adrenal gland to produce cortisol, the following HPAA activity occurs. The hypothalamus produces corticotropin-releasing hormone that stimulates the pituitary gland to secrete adrenocorticotropin hormone. That's called ACTH for short, for good reason. ACTH then stimulates the adrenal glands to make and release cortisol hormones into the blood. Normally, both the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland can sense whether the blood has the appropriate amount of cortisol circulating. If there is too much or too little cortisol, these glands respectively change the amount of corticotropin-releasing hormone and ACTH that gets released. This is another example of the common endocrine system negative feedback loop. Excess cortisol production can occur from nodules in the adrenal gland or excess production of ACTH from a tumor in the pituitary gland, which can lead to significant metabolic disturbances. Now let's look a little more closely at aldosterone. Aldosterone is produced by the zona glomerulosa and plays a central role in regulating blood pressure and the blood levels of specific electrolytes, i.e. sodium and potassium. Aldosterone sends signals to the kidneys, resulting in the kidneys absorbing more sodium into the bloodstream and releasing potassium into the urine. This means that aldosterone also helps regulate the blood pH by controlling the levels of electrolytes in the blood. Next is DHEA and androgenic steroids. DHEA stands for dihydroepiandrosterone, which is not to be confused with DHA of the omega-3 fish oils. DHEA and androgenic steroid hormones are made by the zona reticularis and are weak male hormones. They are precursor hormones that are converted in the ovaries into female hormones and in the testes into male hormones. However, estrogens and androgens are produced in much larger amounts by the ovaries and testes themselves. And finally, let's talk about adrenaline and noradrenaline. Adrenaline, aka epinephrine, and noradrenaline, aka norepinephrine, are produced by the adrenal medulla. Recall that this is the inner part of the adrenal gland. These hormones set up the fight or flight response, which involves our systemic response to an emergency or stress situation that is stimulated by the sympathetic nervous system. As part of setting up that fight or flight response, these hormones are capable of increasing the heart rate and force of heart contractions, increasing blood flow to the muscles in the brain, relaxing airway smooth muscles, and affecting sugar metabolism. They also stimulate narrowing of the blood vessels, which is called vasoconstriction, helping to maintain blood pressure and increasing blood pressure in response to stress. Like several other hormones produced by the adrenal glands, adrenaline and noradrenaline are often produced in physically and emotionally stressful situations when your body needs additional resources and energy to endure unusual strain. Unfortunately, this can turn into a chronic situation which can lead to many chronic health problems associated with living in constant sympathetic nervous system stimulation. In other words, living with a chronic fight or flight response. Which brings us to the problem of adrenal gland disorders. The two most common ways in which adrenal glands cause health issues are by producing too little or too much of certain hormones, which leads to hormonal imbalances. These abnormalities of adrenal function can be caused by various diseases of the adrenal glands or the pituitary gland. When adrenal glands don't produce enough hormones, this can lead to adrenal insufficiency, also called Addison's disease. Adrenal glands may also develop nodules that can be benign or malignant, which can potentially produce excessive amounts of certain hormones, leading to other health issues. Adrenal insufficiency itself is a rare disorder. It may be caused by diseases of the adrenal glands and then is called primary adrenal insufficiency, or by diseases in the hypothalamus or the pituitary glands when it's called secondary adrenal insufficiency. This is the opposite of Cushing's syndrome and is characterized by low levels of adrenal hormones. The symptoms include weight loss, poor appetite, nausea and vomiting, fatigue, sometimes darkening of the skin, abdominal pain, and others. The causes of primary adrenal insufficiency may include autoimmune disorders, fungal and other infections, rarely cancer, and sometimes genetic factors. Although adrenal insufficiency usually develops over time, it can also appear suddenly as an acute adrenal failure. It has similar symptoms, but the consequences are much more serious, including life-threatening shock, seizures, and coma. Now let's look at congenital adrenal hyperplasia. Congenital adrenal hyperplasia can also cause adrenal insufficiency. Children who are born with this disorder are missing an essential enzyme necessary to produce cortisol, aldosterone, or both. At the same time, they often experience excess of androgen, which may lead to male characteristics developing in girls and precocious puberty in boys. Congenital adrenal hyperplasia can remain undiagnosed for years depending on the severity of the enzyme deficiency. In more severe cases, infants may suffer from ambiguous genitalia, dehydration, vomiting, and failure to thrive. On the other end of the spectrum is overactive adrenal glands. Sometimes adrenal glands may develop nodules that produce too much of certain hormones. Both benign and cancerous nodules may produce excessive amounts of certain hormones, which is referred to as a functional nodule. Functional tumors, malignant tumors, or nodules greater than 4 centimeters are recommended to be referred for surgical evaluation. An excess of cortisol causes something called Cushing's syndrome. Cushing's syndrome results from excessive production of cortisol from the adrenal glands. The symptoms may include weight gain and fatty deposits in certain areas of the body, such as the face, below the back of the neck, right at the top of the back, which is called a buffalo hump, and sometimes in the abdomen. You can get purple stretch marks on the abdomen, facial hair, fatigue, muscle weakness, easily bruising skin, high blood pressure, diabetes, and other health issues. Another common cause of Cushing's syndrome is chronic consumption of pharmaceutical steroids, such as prednisone or dexamethasone, which are prescribed to treat many autoimmune or inflammatory diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, asthma, inflammatory bowel disease, multiple sclerosis, and others. The constantly elevated steroid levels can lead to the same Cushing syndrome symptoms as if the adrenals were overproducing cortisol themselves. Excess cortisol production can also be triggered by overproduction of ACTH by a benign tumor in the pituitary gland or elsewhere in the body. This is known as Cushing's disease. We can also have an excess of aldosterone. This is called hyperaldosteronism. Hyperaldosteronism results from overproduction of aldosterone from one or both adrenal glands. This is characterized by increases in blood pressure that often requires many medications to control. Some people can develop low potassium levels in the blood, which can cause muscle aches, weakness, and spasms. When the cause is adrenal oversecretion, the disease is called Kahn syndrome. We can also have an excess of adrenaline or noradrenaline, and that is generally caused by a pheochromocytoma. A pheochromocytoma is a tumor that results in excess production of adrenaline or noradrenaline by the adrenal medulla that often happens in bursts. Pheochromocytomas may cause persistent or sporadic high blood pressure that may be difficult to control with regular medications. Other symptoms include headaches, sweating, tremors, anxiety, and rapid heartbeat. Some people are genetically predisposed to developing this type of tumor. This condition can lead to a medical emergency and always requires immediate medical attention. We can also get adrenal cancer. Malignant adrenal tumors, such as adrenocortical carcinoma, are rare and often have spread to other organs and tissues by the time they are diagnosed. These tumors tend to grow fairly large and can reach several inches in diameter. Cancerous adrenal tumors can release excess of one or more hormones accompanied by the corresponding symptoms. Patients may also experience abdominal pain, flank pain, or a feeling of abdominal fullness, especially if the tumor gets very large. Not all cancers found in adrenal glands originate from the gland itself. The majority of adrenal tumors are actually generally from metastasis that's spread from another primary tumor elsewhere in the body. Meanwhile, also recall that a long list of environmental pollutants and agricultural chemicals have been found to disrupt endocrine function at many levels in people and animals, including in the adrenal glands. So, it's important to be very cautious when using any household or landscape chemicals. These chemicals are called endocrine disrupting chemicals, and they are defined by the World Health Organization as, quote, an exogenous substance or mixture that alters functions of the endocrine system and consequently causes adverse health effects, end quote. The UN published a list of these in 2018, and more information on this is available at www.unenvironment.org. In concert with all of its regulatory effects, the comprehensive endocrine system is intimately involved with the nervous system and the immune system and can have profound effects on all aspects of our general well-being and health. Any new or concerning symptoms should always be evaluated by a physician. If you think you might have an endocrine problem, you should be evaluated by a physician and potentially also by an endocrinologist. The adrenal glands, like all the endocrine glands, are key to the complex integrated function of your entire endocrine system, and therefore to your overall health. Through coordination by the hypothalamus and pituitary, as well as by the primary responses of all the endocrine glands and their associated responding organs, all these complex integrated physiological functions remain in normal and appropriate balance. So how do we keep our adrenal glands healthy? Eat a well-balanced, toxin-free diet that's low in refined sugars and starches. Maintain adequate hydration and avoid back and abdominal injuries, smoking, excess radiation, and environmental pollutants. Avoid using supplemental hormones and steroids and only use supplementation as directed by a physician. Always use these supplements with the direction of a knowledgeable physician. Get plenty of fresh air, stretching, and exercise that helps minimize stress and stimulates your respiratory and cardiovascular systems. Be aware that anything that leads to significant restriction of the muscles and fascias in the back and abdomen can potentially impact the health of the adrenal glands as they sit atop those kidneys. Remember how important blood supply is to these small but mighty glands. Exercise and gentle stretching programs that keep your upper body and core strong and ensure good blood flow and lymphatic drainage to and from the back and abdomen will be beneficial to the health of the adrenals. Do your best to control and manage stress in your life. We all have stressful times, and in fact, we need some stress to function at our best, but we want to avoid chronic long-term stress situations, if at all possible, and to manage our stress to maintain a relatively calm reaction to those stressors. Any meditative and/or calming breathing practices can be very helpful to manage stress and avoid overworking the adrenals in our modern life in the Western world. Which brings me back to osteopathy and to the close of today's show here with a reminder that an osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be very helpful for endocrine issues of all kinds, working gently with our hands with the involved organs, nerves, vasculature, fascias, capsules, and associated tissues to release restrictions in the physical tissues of the back, abdomen, diaphragm, chest, and the involved blood and lymphatic flow, as well as to help balance the autonomic nervous system function based on anatomical detail, and to help you with nutritional issues and support for whatever procedures or treatments you may be going through. Recall that all of the endocrine system is a complex physical entity with connections between all the parts that need to be open, flexible, and moving freely with excellent neural conduction from the nerves, optimal arterial and venous blood flow, and lymphatic drainage to remain healthy, vital, and functioning normally. Well, I definitely ran out of time again today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and you'd like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we're at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, with evening hours on Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll be looking forward to being with you next time. Till then, you take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.